Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. King of Israel, welcome to our hearts. Here to reign in righteousness, so
My name is Cheryl Broom, and I'm the pastor here at Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. In your pews in front of you are two cards, a blue card for guest of the church if we haven't met you before, and the yellow card is for your prayer request. Your prayer team will meet here Monday night and pray over all your requests. Also, we pray for everyone in the congregation. You're welcome to come and join us any Monday night that we're here, this coming Monday at 6 p.m. right here. We have Holy Communion together, a time of prayer, and it is a beautiful time. So we invite you to come and be part of our prayer team. Another thing you'll find in your bulletin is this little Easter invitation. It's really cute. And I would ask if you want to take it and give it to a neighbor or a friend or a person on the street corner, whoever it is that you'd like to invite next week to our Easter services. We begin at 7 a.m. out in the outside chapel. If you have not been there, it's really like directly behind me, isn't it, Chuck?
Yes,
he says. Chuck's going to come and do music at that 7 a.m. service. And we will sing praises and talk about scripture and really celebrate the coming of Christ. After that, we'll have regular services here in the sanctuary at both 9 and 11. The one at 7 has Holy Communion. So if you'd like to share in Holy Communion, come there. Okay? Today is Palm Sunday, a day in which we start with celebration and we end in contemplation as we consider both the passion of Christ and his Passover feast. So I'm really glad that you've made it a priority to be here at church. After the 9 o'clock service, Jessie will be standing outside roping you into helping her finish up so that they're ready for the 12 o'clock egg hunt or 12:10, whenever we finish worship, okay? So let us prepare our hearts and minds as we begin to welcome Christ.
We light these candles as a reminder that Christ is with us. Please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ. The first scripture reading today comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And it's about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and with the colt, the foal of the donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and Jesus mounted. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together in a moment of confession. Imagine Jesus entering our presence just as he entered Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. Envision the palm branches, the donkey, the shouts of Hosanna. Understanding who he is and knowing who we are, let us pray together. Oh, gracious God, we are grateful that on Palm Sunday, Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem. We celebrate today just as the crowds who originally cheered and cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." We honor the Lord Jesus, remembering how he rode upon a donkey and how the crowds spread their garments before him, cheering, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Too often, we are like the crowds in Jerusalem that day. One minute cheering, the next minute jeering. We have slowly but surely fallen away from the Lord's commands. We do not love our neighbor, and we do not hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us when we fall away from our faith. Guide us to do your will, no matter the circumstances, and not counting the cost. Strengthen us so that our faith will prove true and sure. Lord, we thank you for being an ever patient and loving God, who forgives us our sins and restores our relationship with you and with each other. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and friend. Amen. And now, may we greet Jesus as our God and King. Your response to what I say is Hosanna in the highest. Grab your palm branches and give them a wave as we respond. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna to Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who brings hope during difficult times.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest heaven.
Hosanna in the highest.
And together we say, Amen.
Amen.
As we begin to pray for our church and for the world, remember that you have the prayer cards in front of you, and at the end of our prayer time, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, hear our prayers for the church, for the world. We lift prayers for the family and friends of the school shooting victims in Nashville. We lift prayers for those who have lost lives and property in Mississippi, in Alabama, in Iowa, in Arkansas, in Tennessee, and Delaware, and across the United States. We pray for all who have recently lost loved ones and for those who need your healing touch. Grant that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Guide the people of this land and all of the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we might honor one another and serve the common good. Give us all reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we might serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loved us. All these prayers and those in our heart we lift in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On Palm Sunday, we learn about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Just imagine the noise, the fanfare, the joy. In those days, there were two ways for a king to enter a city. When a king came in war, he rode a chariot. When a king came in peace, he came in riding a donkey. Jesus came that day riding a donkey. And the regular people, well, they just walked. Jesus was recognized by some people and hailed the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. His entry into Jerusalem was his official presentation as the Messiah, the King of Israel. It was the original march for Jesus. Y'all didn't think that was funny. It was the original march for Jesus, and the crowd was greatly excited. They were coming and shouting and rejoicing. They didn't have banners or balloons. They cut out palm branches from the trees, and they waved them enthusiastically as Jesus entered the city. The excited crowd there to greet Jesus, stretching even on their tippy toes to see him as he came through the city. How do you feel imagining this? How do you feel when you imagine Jesus riding into town? Would you pull out all the stops? Would you open all the doors of your home and heart? And with outstretched hands, would you welcome Jesus Christ? Now, I'm a fan of Jesus. I'll tell you that, I am. Actually, the word fan is short for fanatic, right? Did you know that? Fanatic means radically, excessively, enthusiastic, intense, uncritical devotion to someone or something. And the origin of the word fanatic is from Latin, and it's fanum. And actually, fanum means sanctuary. Think of that, Jesus, as our sanctuary. Yes, I'm a big fan of Jesus. How about you? When I lived in San Antonio in 1987, I remember the religious fans when the Pope visited San Antonio. Anybody there? If you were not yet born or did not know about the Pope entering San Antonio on September 13, 1987, there was a huge celebration. There was a Catholic mass that the Pope held, and they said there were over 350,000 people in attendance at that mass. And then the Pope drove around San Antonio, mostly the west side, and he drove in something called the Pope-mobile. You all know about the Pope-mobile. And he drove throughout the cities, and the streets were packed with throngs of people who wanted to see the Pope. Maybe they wanted to touch him. Maybe they wanted him to hear their prayers. They were fanatic for the Pope. Now, do you get a better picture of what happened in Jerusalem that day when Jesus entered on a donkey and how the people were excited and massed around him, hoping maybe to touch his gown, maybe hoping that he would hear their prayer, maybe hoping, like so many others, that he healed and fed? They were excited to see him. And you know, they shouted this word, Hosanna. Hosanna is really a Hebrew, two Hebrew words put together, and it means save us. When people screamed out Hosanna, they were saying, save us, Lord, save us, Lord. Only in the New Testament did this word morph into meaning, praise, we praise you, Lord. But for the people of Jerusalem, under the heavy rule of the Roman government and some pretty strict religious leaders, they shouted to him, save us, Lord. Jesus, you're the King of Kings. Save us. Can you imagine him coming today? Would we have the same shout in the craziness of our lives, in the terrible violence that we face every single day? When the storms of tornadoes and wind and hail and damage come, would we scream out, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest, meaning, save us, Lord! You'll read stories about when people were faced with violence and they prayed. What do they say? There's never an atheist in a foxhole. Now we can say there's never an atheist in a public school. And you bet they prayed, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us, Lord Jesus, save us. Not much change from then to now, I would say. We go to Jesus still with the need of being saved, and we are saved by his grace. And the swelling of the crowds and the branches and the crying to Jesus to save them. What a scene. Now, it was only after Jesus and the disciples made their way through that huge crowd where Jesus pulled the disciples aside and gave them further instructions. We're going to go to the Bible in Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 19. That's on your pew Bibles on page 905. We're going to read all the way through to 29, so you might want to put your finger in that place as we read along. I think the first version I'm reading from is from the American Standard Version. Susan and I were talking about Bible versions earlier, and in seminary, that was the first Bible they wanted us to buy of many to read. So I'm going to be reading from the American Standard Version. So read along in the RSV, NRSV you have, and see what the differences are. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, where wilt thou that we make ready for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say to him, the teacher saith, my time is at hand. I keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready for Passover. Now, for the people of Israel, the Passover, Hebrew people, is one of the most important celebrations of the Jewish year. It is a celebration of a meal commemorating the great act of deliverance that God gave the Hebrew people in Exodus. And through the symbolism of each part of the Seder, participants of every generation are invited, they're commanded in Exodus 12:14, to reenact, to re-engage with the story of redemption. And they do so to remember God's faithfulness and God's miraculous rescuing and saving of his people. So all of people in Jerusalem, the Hebrew people, are commanded to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus did that. A Jewish man through and through, he celebrated the Passover with his family, the disciples. Now, a vital element in this discipleship is the reflection over the Passover to celebrate this meal and share it in your household. The meal would become a focal point of Jesus' Last Supper as his disciples shared it with him. And this is the foundation of one of the most central tenets of the Christian faith, which is the Lord's Supper. Returning to Scripture, let's read 20 through 25. Now, when evening was come, he was sitting at meat with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began to say to him, every one, "Is it I, Lord?" And he answered and said, "He that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, even as it is written of him. But woe to that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had not been born." And Judas, who betrayed him, answered and said, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He saith unto him, "Thou hast said." When I read these scriptures, I find myself asking this question: why? Why? Why must this happen to Jesus? According to a book I'm reading called Toward a Meaningful Life, The Wisdom of Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson by Rabbi Simon Jacobson, it all started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, our ancestors, each one of us. For when God created human beings, he made the body out of dust. The body was just a shell until God breathed life into it, breathed God's spirit. That word, remember, we said in Hebrew is ruach. When you say it, it sounds like air. It means spirit. And we were not animated as body and spirit until God breathed the breath of life into us. When God did that, we were connected with God, body and soul. Until you know what happened. Spoiler alert, plug your ears, kids. When they sinned and broke God's commandment and ate from the tree of good and evil. It was at that time, as punishment, our soul was taken away from our body. Our spirit, connection, direct connection with God, was severed. And ever since that time, we long to be with God in body and soul. Rebbe says, to think of our soul like a candle wick. The body is the wick itself holding us down, and our soul is like the flame longing to be with God. And yet we are tethered by this body to remain. We were broken from God by sins. He says the first sin created self-consciousness, independent, selfish ego was born, and we were divorced from the will of God and God's intentions. Adam and Eve, their eyes were opened, and evil entered the world in our lives, and we were resigned to be separate from God. And even today, we struggle with the imperfections of our world, with violence and self-centeredness, in a world split between our material needs and the needs of our soul to be with God. This created such a big gulf that we needed Jesus. We needed a Savior, and God sent us Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus now was all set for the Passover meal. Already, he made plans. They came and did as he instructed. So now are you beginning to see the very importance of the Passover rituals for us? Now, part of the Passover ritual is cleaning the house of all leaven. If you are an Orthodox Jewish person, over this past week, Passover being Wednesday, I believe, this week, you would have cleaned your whole house of leaven, every single housewoman. I don't know that men did that, I'm sorry. And you know what leaven is that little piece of bread that rises. And they
take that, and everywhere in the New Testament, you'll see leaven is considered a symbol for sin. Ah, think about that as we compare tables and we prepare to come for our own Seder with Jesus. That we are to clean out every bit of leaven in the darkness of our souls. We are to clear out every sign of sin before we approach this table to share in this meal, just as the Jews did in their own home to get rid of all the leaven. We read from 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8. For Christ was to become our Passover lamb. He's been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate this festival not with the old leaven, not with the leaven of malice or evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay, let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 and read now verses 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of ye all of it, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I shall not drink henceforth from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom." This we do, as Jesus instructed us, in remembrance of him. During the Passover meal, there were four cups. Any of y'all ever been to a Christian Seder? There are many cups of wine that you drink through the Seder. That's why they take manischewitz and they mix it with water. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'd be a very happy Seder. There are four cups of wine specifically at the table that they drink from, and they remember, they take drops of their wine and put them on the table in remembrance of all of the plagues that the people, that the Pharaoh faced before he would release the Hebrews. So at this table, during the Passover, these four cups of wine, there is the cup of sanctification, and that's when they remember God's people being brought out from the burdens into freedom. The cup of praise, this cup speaks of the good news of the deliverance, which merits continual praise to God. There is the cup of redemption. That cup is when we recognize that God redeems us and takes back what is rightfully his. There is the cup of acceptance, where God promises Israel that they will keep their inheritance. He assures them that they are no longer alienated from God. I think there's a little bit of Hebrew in the blood of every Christian. Yes, even United Methodist. Our words of institution that we say over the bread and the cup is what Jesus instructed us to do in remembrance of him. And we proclaim these mighty acts in the name of Jesus Christ in remembrance of him. These very words that he said at the table, we remember. Those are Jewish liturgy words. So we join with people all over the world, Christians all over the world, who say this liturgy, even as the Jewish people say it themselves. Do this in remembrance of me. In Hebrew, these are the words that Jesus said, and the Jews say at their table every single week when they have Shabbat. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hama'itz parei hagafen. And that means, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringest forth the juice, the fruit of the vine. And then they take the bread, although not like ours. We still have the leaven in this bread. The Jewish bread they use is matzah bread, and it has no leaven, and it doesn't rise. And if you think about it, the symbolism of the matzah itself, it's pierced all the way through and burned. Next time you have a piece of matzah, look at that bread and remember the body of Christ. And this is what Jesus said. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hama'itz lachem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And then he broke that bread. There's some other symbolism from the Passover feast that we don't do. But he broke the bread, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples. And he took the cup after supper, and he said, "This is the new cup, the covenant poured out in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And remembering the order of the Seder with all the different cups that he took, Jesus did this at the cup of redemption, thus making himself our redemption. And after the meal, Jesus changed the Passover feast forever when he pointed to himself as the ultimate sacrifice, our Redeemer. And now at this Lord's table, through these words of institution that Christ said to tell you, so that you would never forget, so that you would remember, we offer to you Christ's body and blood. This is not a United Methodist table, as you can tell by now. This is Christ's table, offered for all people in hope of receiving his love and redemption. Therefore, we remove the leaven from our lives. We do not come to this table proclaiming that we have any sin left, but we have given it to Christ, who sacrificed his life that you and I might join him at this table. There's food for every single person here. And you know, we even have gluten-free food for those who cannot have the leaded bread. I'm going to ask those who are serving with communion today to come forward that we might prepare the table. This is the body of Christ given for all and the blood of Christ shed for all. For a rail offering today that will go to the Honduras Mission Project. There's a note in the back of your bulletin. Vestals, will you please stand for just a moment? I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to stand. They are going forth to Honduras in just a week or two to support medical mission amongst people who so need it. If you are willing to support them, every bit of our altar rail offering today will go to support their mission project. Thank you for standing. Now, the table is made ready. Please come with the assistance of our ushers. Let us pray together. Lord God, we thank you for these great and mighty gifts that you offer to us in the form of Jesus Christ. And we receive your blessing that you might bless and protect us, that the Lord would deal kindly and graciously with us, that the Lord would bestow upon us his favor and grant us his peace. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all who agree say amen.
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 So as usual, we're asked to say why we give. I'm just going to say it's a God thing, and that's it. Will you join me in prayer now? Generous God, you tenderly care for each person you have created. You miraculously restore people to health and shine light into the lives of those who are discouraged. Guide us so that we will not regard others according to outward appearances, but seek to find your love in their hearts. We dedicate our offerings and ourselves to contribute to the work of your kingdom on earth until Christ returns in glory. Amen.
Amen.
Will the ushers please come forward?
The story continues after the supper. You turn back to Matthew chapter 26, where we'll read verses 30 through 56 and 27, 1 through 2. It is Christ in prayer and Christ in the betrayal. Verse 30. And then when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. There Jesus said to them, "You will fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after them I am raised up. I will go before you to Galilee.'" Peter answered him, "Though they fall away from you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." And then they came and they laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he would at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scripture be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in your temple teaching and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left and fled.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor.
This is the word of God for the people of God. It seems that not much has changed in humanity throughout the years. Sin is rampant. Evil reigns in our cities, our streets, and even our schools. Today, we miss the laughter of our loved ones now gone. Today, we hear the weeping as we cry out to the Lord, "Save us." Thank God this is not the end of the story. But for a time, for a week that has been labeled Holy Week, we must muddle along this dark road and pray and cry out to the Lord and weep and watch and wait for Jesus. Sometimes that's all we can do as we gather together to wait and to pray. And I hope that you will join us back here in the sanctuary on Monday, Thursday, and for our Good Friday cantata. Both start at 7 o'clock, and during those worship services, we're going to watch and wait and pray in song and in psalms as we journey with Jesus and remember this part of the passion, that Jesus was betrayed, arrested, harshly judged, cruelly beaten, and then put to death. Wrapped in burial cloths and placed in a tomb, and even as we weep over his death, over this, his passion for us, we wait in hope for resurrection. On Easter morning, we will praise God with the gift of Jesus' life and celebrate our life in Christ. And if you're so inclined to join with Chuck and I at 7 a.m. in the outdoor worship space, we will be the first at this church to greet the resurrected Christ. Or sleep a little later. Come at 9, come at 11. We will celebrate the end of this story that we heard today. Now let us respond. Is it?
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing.
In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me.
Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me. A strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net which is hidden from me, for you are my refuge.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
I hate those who pray regard to vain idols, but I trust in the Lord.
I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction and have taken heed of my adversities.
You have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place.
Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and body also.
For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away.
I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances, for those who see me in the street flee from me.
I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become a broken vessel.
For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life.
But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine on your servant. Save me through your steadfast love.
A mighty fortress is our God.
As we leave this place today, go remembering both the palms and the passion of Christ. Come back Thursday and let's finish this story together. And then join us Friday as we understand the story fuller in song. Go forth with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his light and face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.